Once again, Vicki, we thank you for opening your home for us together this way. Glad everybody's here today. We're going to do something a little different. We're going to try and do something that will make the rubber meet the road. Be kind of practical in this. I'm going to pick out three things that were in the paper today, and I want y'all to tell me what you know about them. One of them is Chancellor Duncan's resignation from Texas Tech. The other is the Rager Dykes event. And the last is the Supreme Court nomination. So you know it's Kavanaugh. Okay. That's good. I just said, but those three things, y'all tell me what you know.
Chaos in the earth.
Good answer.
Good answer.
It covers all three of them, doesn't it? All
right. I know a little bit about Rager Dykes just because I'm in the banking business, but just the exposure of leaders and what they're doing and just came to light just like that. He's been doing it for years, but not it just came to life as the leadership. Financial community a little bit.
As that.
Is the restrainer being removed or what? Exposing the dark.
Yeah. Good.
Well, the restrainer was removed and they got caught.
Yeah. There you go.
It's funny you ask that because I'm aware of all two of those things. I was talking about the chancellor leaving Tech, but I sort of think about it and I don't really know any details about any of it. Is that good or bad? I don't know.
People aren't who you think they are.
Okay.
I mean, you and I always didn't like Rager, but
so I'm thinking that's exactly who I thought he was.
Well, other people in this community didn't think he was.
on the Supreme Court nominee, whether he's guilty or not, he's been convicted.
Yeah, that was the point. What Cheyenne and Zach did was express their opinion without fact. Now, I agree with them. I don't know that man, but the two times I shook his hand, I just had this. But I don't know anything.
The first thing that came to my mind was, who do you believe? Mm. Who can you believe? You know, you can have an opinion because maybe you know someone, so you've got an opinion about them. But then when accusation comes against them, do you believe that? Can you believe the accusations to be true?
Well, in all three of these, the reason I chose those, people very close to each one has drawn up sides. There were people who knew the chancellor who have really taken up his side. There's people who knew some of the regents who've really taken up their side. In the Rager Dykes, there are people trying to defend those two guys and their establishment. Then there are those who knew their employees who are coming at it from another way, but it leaves the rest of us out here with no, I mean, we may form an opinion, but we have no way to judge the matter yet. The facts aren't out yet. Same thing, as Jerry said on the Supreme Court nominee, that thing went from assault to attempted rape, and nobody has testified yet. No statements have been made.
Didn't even read the letter.
Yeah.
He's been ruined, and he's ruined. I mean, his political career.
And the nation has divided based on your political affiliation or how you feel about the Supreme Court with no facts. Now, my point is this, and the reason I want to put this out, as the house of God, we have to judge things different. We're expected to judge things different. It speaks of Well, let's go back to what Peter had to do when he was replacing Judas, and the reason he was replacing Judas. You know, he knew that he was going to testify to the Jewish nation on Pentecost that they had killed the king, the king of the Jews, that they had falsely accused and killed him. And he needed 12 witnesses. And so he said, therefore it is necessary to choose one of the men who's been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus was living among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us, for one of these must become a witness of his resurrection. Now, there were a lot of people. We know of a count of 4,000 one time, 5,000 another, who had a witness, a testimony about Jesus Christ. But they couldn't testify about everything from the baptism to the resurrection, and the resurrection being a big part of that. But Peter was going to lay it out, and he was going to lay out that whole thing. So he had to find 11 other people who could testify, say, yes, I saw that, I know that, with him on that whole matter. We are told in Revelation that the kingdom will be built by our testimony, what we say. I would say to you, the people of God have fallen into the ways of the world in judging these three matters I gave you. We have formed opinions, if we have any information at all about it, we've formed opinions based on the manner in which God said it would be done. I mean, based on the manner the world said it would be done. I want to go to Luke 19, somewhere around 40. Start on about 37. As soon as he was approaching near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples, large crowd of disciples, began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles which they had seen, shouting, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And then some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." But Jesus answered, "I tell you, if these become silent, the stones will cry out." And when he approached Jerusalem, the city, he wept over it, saying, "If you had known in this day, even you, the things which make for peace, but now they have been hidden from your eyes." We say from that scripture that the nature will cry out for the sons of God to be revealed. But if we don't fulfill what we're supposed to, the stones, even these stones, the stones of the temple is what he's talking about, but nature will cry out for righteousness, for the righteousness of God. We are in the earth. We know that God was in Christ Jesus reconciling the world to himself. And we have been given this ministry of reconciliation, if though as God were himself in us, crying out for the reconciliation of the world. As the ambassadorial representation of God in your sphere, you have to set a standard that is different. We have to judge things in a more righteous way. Somebody has to present a standard different than what the world is using right now to judge these matters. I'm really even amazed at you have a justice for the Supreme Court, which is going to be the law of the land. And one of the basic tenets is that in the legal system in which he will be a supreme judge, is that one of the tenets is you always have the right to face your accuser, and they're not going to grant it to you, apparently. It's how fast they're abandoning their own, the world is abandoning their own system. But my point being this, we as the children of God.
Sorry, Douglas, there's nothing to repeat.
We as the children of God have to handle these matters different so that the world can see and be reconciled to God. I know it's water cooler talk. You know, the Rager Dykes thing was big water cooler talk for several weeks. The Supreme Court thing is all over and will be all over the nation this week. And Duncan's thing is going to escalate up, it looks like, based on a article in the paper today. But when someone comes and expresses something to us about any of those circumstances, what should we say to them? What should our answer be? How do we engage concerning these things? As a people of God, how do we represent God in these matters? You know, if I say that's tragic, the effect that Rager Dykes' deal had on those 700 families. I think we can all agree to that. I don't know exactly how many lost their job, but we know that there were 700 affected. If I say, well, you know, old Dykes is just a lying scumbag. What do y'all say to me? Our first question should be, is that your testimony? Do you know that? Has he lied to you? Do you know that for a fact? Or is that off of what you're hearing? You know, that old Duncan, he was just sucking money out of Tech, stealing it right and left. Is that your witness? Or is that an accusation you heard on the street corner that you're repeating and giving legs to? What I'm getting to here is two things. Number one, we have to have a testimony. And a testimony is of those things we witnessed. Secondly, our confrontation of anything like this should be motivated to bring reconciliation. The kingdom of God, as having been given the ministry of reconciliation, should be trying to be bringing reconciliation from all the parties that are there. Now, some of these things are totally of the world, and we probably won't have the authority to do it. And if we don't have the authority to do it, then what should we do? Don't do anything. You're uninvolved in it.
You're dead.
Yeah. Yeah. But if we have the authority, our motivation should be the reconciliation of these things. I mean, somebody, some righteous person should be dealing with Chancellor Duncan and those regents trying to reconcile the difference that led to his resignation. Not necessarily to put him back in that place, but to reconcile that thing. I don't know whether he should be there or not. I don't have the authority in that. I don't know anything about it. I don't even know why it happened. But evidently, there was some difference that led that thing led to the loss of his occupation there. Same thing, if our congressmen, if our senators were righteous, rather than playing this thing out in the paper, they would have dealt with that thing behind closed doors. I mean, my opinion, not fact, but my opinion is this whole thing's politically motivated, I think. But if we had righteousness in our world, they would have tried to reconcile that thing before. All you have to do, I've found, is throw out the name Rager Dykes, and you can get a whole lot of opinions about what goes on there and how long those boys are to be in jail. I mean, they have been tried and convicted. At least those two and maybe the financial guys in our minds already. And we have no facts, y'all. None.
I was sat at the conference table at our office, and everybody is like sitting in on a jury.
Yeah.
Listening to the conversation.
And we can go back in history. When the Bill Clinton thing was going on, they knew. One of the ones that amazes me, I think one of the times when our nation was righteous and one of the times when our nation was wicked was when we found Saddam Hussein, we turned him over to his people and they tried him. All we did was capture him and give him to them, and they dealt with it totally. On Osama bin Laden, knowing our principles are the sovereignty of our nation and the sovereignty of a man in his own home. Those are two big tenets for the American government. We invaded a sovereign nation, went into a man's sovereign home, tried him, and executed him on the spot. Rather than, capturing him and bringing him in and putting him before an international tribunal. Absolute wickedness, I think. You cannot, and this is part of the restrainer being removed and these things being revealed, but as a nation, you cannot say, I hold this thing to be true, that a nation is sovereign, and then go invade a sovereign nation. You've just denied your own truth. I believe a man is sovereign in his own home, but go in there and execute him. Because does any of y'all know for sure Osama bin Laden planned 9/11? Do you have any evidence? A lot's been said in the public about him, but there's never been any evidence released to show that he did that, that he was the mastermind behind it. I think he may have taken credit at one time for it, but I don't know. But my point is being this. We as the people of God have got to put on display a means of judgment, a means of evaluation that brings about reconciliation, but also the truth. That it's not done on malicious gossip or slander or newspapers or whatever it is. But we're going to wake up tomorrow morning in a nation of chaos. We've been in a nation of chaos for some time, but it's going to be worse tomorrow morning because the system of final judgment in our nation has been politicized and the nation is divided over this thing totally. But, and we're not giving honor to that thing that we established. We're not giving honor to the individual. I mean, I don't know whether this guy ought to be a Supreme Court justice or not. I don't have the authority to choose that. But the method in which they're evaluating him and the method in which the court is being viewed has become so divisive, and it's based not on fact, but it's based on opinion. Most of it political in this case. Because nobody knows. And I don't know that they'll ever know. I'm sure some incident happened to that lady the way she remembers it, now whether he was there or not or what. But neither one of these people are going to come out of this thing good. None of the people affected by Rager Dykes are going to come out of this thing good. The chancellor and his family, the university, they're all going to suffer through this thing. Probably going to be some financial suffering on some of those. Probably going to be some prison time on some of them. But as the people of God, our love of the truth has got to motivate us to view things different. I was talking with one of my spiritual sons, raised a question with me concerning an individual. And what I said to him was, don't know about that. There is nothing in my witness with that person that would support that thought. That's the only thing I can testify to. There's nothing I know that would support that testimony. And I just pretty well forgot about what he said after that because I couldn't support it. We as the people of God have got to begin to confront people about that. When I come to you and say, "Oh, Bart is a slime ball," your first question to me should be, "Now, how do you know that?" Yeah. Tell me your testimony concerning Bart Rager. And I would say, I shook his hand in the men's restroom one day. I mean, that's my total, and I'm making a judgment on him based on that. Somebody has to raise the standard and put it on display so that the world will, or nature is going to cry out. If the sons of God are silenced, if the sons of God aren't doing what they should be doing, nature will begin to cry out on this thing. But, and I'm going to tell you, I'm guilty. I've formed an opinion about all three of those things. And I've probably expressed it to her, and she heard it as fact, not my opinion. I may have expressed some of them to others of you in here. But we have to be quick into that. Y'all pretty well know I don't know the Supreme Court thing. But you might be open to the thought that I might really know Dykes and Rager. And so anything I said could be taken as a fact. Our love of the truth should motivate us to hold these standards up so that the world can see something different. Now, I agree. Everything that we've said, this is chaotic. The restrainer has been removed, and this stuff is going that direction. But that's why we have the need for a standard that's different. Now, there's nothing wrong with us giving our opinion if we clearly state it as that. It's nothing more. I have no facts to support this, but I'm going to tell you, here's the way I feel. Now, I don't know that that benefits anybody, you know. Especially if my thing is to lower your opinion of Rick Dykes or Bart Rager. I've brought division, which, you know, that's what it says in the last days. This is what the world will do. They'll bring division. And I've added to it by tainting your opinion of somebody you may not even know. And it was just by my opinion. I've said this in previous teachings. Part of the difficulty for me in America today is all the opinion polls we do that gives rise to make us think our opinion matters. The one that caught me the most was when they were polling the American people about whether or not we should invade Iraq. Well, the American people don't have the requisite authority to make that decision, much less the information necessary. So what did my opinion about that matter? But it's a scheme of the devil to make, it leads us into lawlessness because we begin to think whatever's right in our own mind, and that is the biblical lawlessness. But if your opinion matters that much about things that you don't have authority over, you begin to think more of yourself than you should, and you become a god unto yourself, and all of our decisions are made based on how I feel and what my opinion is. But, I mean, we've been talking for 3 years now about the bar being raised, about the standard getting higher, about accuracy needing to come in. And I just really believe this area, I mean, we have got to become more accurate as the people of God in how the judgment of matters is laid out as compared to how the world does it. And we need to restrain ourselves. And I would probably say we're all guilty of getting sucked into the hyperbole of the news that's going on. I mean, it's all around. And it's hard not to, if you watch news or read newspapers, it's hard not to get caught up in that. But it's crazy the way some of the things that are being said about, you know, whether it's Trump or Pence or the leaders in the Senate. I mean, there's horrible things being said out there, and they're unsubstantiated for the most part, opinions of people. The other thing that amazes me is how our news system if you take like a USA Today or something, if you read their whole paper, about 60% of it is opinion. It's not news, it's opinion. But that's tainting how Americans feel about things or how the world sees things. There needs to be somebody come out and make a stand. Yes, ma'am?
Just as you were talking, Lily mumbled this earlier. Lily mumbled, this sounds like high school. And the way she said it made me think she was saying, I expect more out of y'all. That grown-ups act just like children. And that's, I think she's right. You know, they are looking at us on how to react and how to get through this stuff. Because sure, she thinks, and we've told her all along, get through this child drama, because once you're an adult, there's a higher standard, but there isn't.
It's going to end.
Well, somebody has to come forth. That's where we're talking about the sons of God being called forth. The when the corporate man is revealed, these are the things that will be revealed with it. We talk about the birth pangs of a woman. The end of time will come on us like that. And I've always, when I've said that, in the back of my mind, I've thought about the traumatic things, the removal of restraint, the world getting worse and all that. But another thing that will come on us in the same manner is righteousness. It'll come on us like birth pangs on a woman. And we will stand up and give an accurate presentation, an accurate representation of the living God in the earth today. That's what we're called to do. You are the ambassadors of Christ in your sphere. You are the ministers of reconciliation in your sphere. This divisive, reputation-crushing way that we handle these three things, we're wrong. We are totally wrong. But somebody, now you can fully expect the world to do that, but the world and Lily should be able to expect something different from us.
To me, it all boils down to what you've been saying for a long time, that it's all just a change in character. Because if we're changing our character to be the exact representation of the Lord, that is the standard. And if that's our focus right there, then our discerning and everything is proper when it comes to responding to others, right?
Right.
Or how we judge them.
And I'm not saying there is wickedness in the world. There are these bad things that are happening. But we, as purveyors of the truth, we should hold the world to that standard. We should encourage the world to seek after that standard. We know what happens if we don't love the truth. Perish.
You know, Doug, you said when we aren't in authority, we don't have the authority to reconcile. But we can also talk to the Lord and ask Him to somehow, the people have to open up to Him, but to open that up to them to see what He's trying to show them through this. We can do that.
Oh, yeah. Like in the case of this lady and this justice, I mean, that's really all we can do is pray that somebody would bring a righteous standard into that room that would open the door for reconciliation. The problem is you got a whole house full of people who say they're Christians, but I'm not sure anybody wants reconciliation in that. So that's the first lie we have to... You know, Scripture says clearly, when we lie, we walk in darkness. You can't tout yourself as a representative of Christ and want division the way those two political parties do. They just don't measure up. So we have that group in darkness, so that's where we have to start praying, is for that crowd of darkness to come out from under the darkness so that they can be who they say they are.
But you know, Doug, what you said is so true. I am so guilty. I have a neighbor that worked for Spike Dykes in La Mesa, and he happened to be walking down the alley the day after this was all exposed, and he said, you know, I know both those men, and I know that financial manager, and he said, it wouldn't put it past me to not believe Bart Rager or the financial man, but I really like Rick Dykes. I think he's an honest man. Well, then that formed my opinion just by him saying that. And I think I spoke that to Jerry in June. I'm really sorry I ever spoke to him. You know, because it was an opinion and it wasn't, you know, what you said. We have to say, Lord, you know, show us the truth. Don't go by what man says.
Well, and even he had somewhat of a testimony because he knew him. He could say, I know him.
He did, but
when we repeat his testimony,
yes,
it's no longer a testimony.
And that's why it just really spoke to me what you said. I really need to watch what, really discern. This year I have asked the Lord more than I ever have for discernment on everything that's going on.
I think, well, like I said, even if someone, when you repeat someone else's testimony, you know, the power of it is gone at that point. Because, that's why Peter wanted those 12. Mm-hmm. And Jewish law required you have 12 witnesses. That's why he wanted those 12. Because he had a lot of people that could, I heard about that man got healed. I heard about that lady got raised from the dead. But they didn't have a testimony about it. But you, as the people of God, are the ones who have to make the shift. That's the one, the character change we're talking about, is what changes these things and exposes the things. And the truth will always come out. Time will always manifest the truth. We don't have to worry about that. But we do have to worry about our presentation of it in these circumstances.
Come on, we talk about these things like we're just analyzing newspaper articles, but we have a lot of opportunity to take care of this kind of stuff in our own context, mm-hmm. in the household. And we're not historically that good at that either, so that's what I'm very convicted about. As our own.
I, for one, am glad that you brought this up because, along with these public things that are happening, there are also very personal things that are happening. The standard is vital too in personal circles, whether it's political or not, it's between you and another person. And it seems like when something personal happens to you, it's something like an ongoing saga. And I found myself in a place where I had someone was offended and tried to get me
to pick up their offense.
And in that, immediately I began to question, because Holy Spirit began to bring to me how they were to handle this in the body of Christ. That they go to the person, not bring someone else into it. And even in that, I spoke to them about that. But then the Holy Spirit began to point out other things in that conversation. And I called them because they're a very good friend, and tried to set an appointment. And because life is so crazy, you get, they're going in this direction, I'm going in this direction. And so it's like two or three different times. Well, I have come to the place where, well, maybe I'm just not supposed to bring those things up. So I was in a place where I was almost ready to dismiss it. And what the Lord spoke through you is, we have to state the standard. If we don't state the standard, they don't... I mean, I'm sure the Lord will bring it some other way. I hope He would, but... It doesn't release me from what God's shown me. And it's not that you're better, but if you don't state it, then they're left with the opinion that you agree with them or whatever. I don't know.
Well, and you touch on a real important thing there. It's something Ronnie and Vicki and I've talked with people who have counseled that. Picking up someone else's offense, whoa. There's unlawful responsibility and unlawful authority, but that one is one that's very common for us, is to pick up someone else's offense. And understanding this, if we're offended, it's because God's doing something in us. And so for us to pick up that from. But even if you go farther, to pick up someone else, even if they were sinned, somebody sinned against them, to pick up that is wrong. You know, you quoted the right thing, send them back to them. That's why they do it. But we do it routinely. We will pick that up, and that, I mean, that's part of, the Black Lives Matters, or the kneeling of the thing, all of those things, we've picked up something there, and we've divided our nation over these issues. And as my stepdad used to say, I don't have a dog in that fight. I really don't. Yeah, I don't know how to, address it. But we, as the body of Christ, need to put forth a different standard.
Just what comes to mind, and seems so silly, but it was pretty much worldwide, is the Nike Colin Kaepernick fiasco.
Yeah,
I mean, it was just all over social media. And then we were walking out of Bailey's Bean the other day, and I told my grandpa, who's, you know, a strong Christian, I said, "I like those tennis shoes." "Yeah, but I'm not about that thrown in the trash for Nike." That's some awesome division. Who's the winner there? You paid $100 for him, and you're about to track him.
So Kaepernick's still going to get his cut.
Oh, yeah.
Well, how we address those things. I mean, if you look on social media, the things Christians say about these things, it's horrible. And we have been sucked into the ways of the world. There should be a difference between us and them. It should be clear, and it should be distinct. And the accuracy with which we administrate these things is going to get more and more critical.
When someone asks you, you know, they say, "What do you think about?" Well, you're already trapped up there if you open your mouth. But don't you think when you reply with your opinion, aren't you making yourself a judge?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And he says, "Do not judge."
Yeah. Our answer should be, I think, or I would offer this to you. I don't have either the authority nor the knowledge to speak to that, because I don't have any of the facts. I don't have a testimony. I don't.
At times, I just say, "I can't judge the man."
No. Yeah, and we really don't. I mean, I know nothing of the character of this Kavanaugh guy. I know nothing of the character of this woman. Know nothing of the circumstances of her school. So I probably need to withhold judgment. Would be the wise thing. I have.
It's hard not to take a side, though.
Yeah.
Even if you don't know them, you find yourself being pulled one way or another. I think the strength of you knowing Holy Spirit, and I mean, he's had me several times say, "I don't want you to do that." "I don't want you to do that."
Oh, sure.
So you just be quiet.
See a lot of evil in your tongue. The base of it is evil.
Yeah.
Everybody wanting their own.
Well, and the really sad thing about, if we take that Supreme Court thing, my impression is this. We've divided it based on whether you want a conservative or a liberal court, and we have not considered the hearts or the welfare of either people involved.
No.
What do I want for a Supreme Court is what has made me take one side or another in that thing.
What I see is we want justice, we want righteousness, but the avenue we're trying to find it in is never going to come that way. Right.
But this starts with us starting to say that. When you declare it, when you're sitting at the coffee shop and they start that conversation, we, as the children of God, should say, you know, guys, we really don't have the authority or enough information to make a righteous judgment in this.
That's when they say, yeah, but.
Yeah.
Everybody likes to express their opinions.
But we can't change the world, but we can change our, we're the standard. And the only one we can affect is, or change is us. And we affect a lot of people in that.
I saw Jerry the other day, and that was the first thing I asked him. How's that Gregor Dykes thing affected Lamisa?
And of course I answered.
And I took what he says as gospel and I told everybody.
You know, June said this the other day. It's good advice and it's come back to me. It was so full of wisdom. Put all that aside and then don't do anything but ask, who am I?
What's God saying to you?
Who's God making me to be? If Christ is being formed in me, then I'm nobody except who he wants me to be. I don't know. I thought about it a lot because there are a lot of things that take your conscious thinking. They're not necessarily bad, but they're not lining up with you bowing your knee to Christ or, you know, to enlisting to the Holy Spirit. I don't know if that makes sense, but God just used what she said, and I felt like it was full of wisdom.
Well, so, something as trivial as this. This time yesterday, about 58% of this population in this town wanted to fire Cliff Kingsbury. But today, about 80% of them are all behind you. Won a game in that chance.
That's scary that we have that big an opinion of
tossed to
we need
and
to
fro.
Know each other in the strength
tossed
of who
to
we
and
see
fro
each other.
Because we're infants. That's what the deal is. We have not matured into the character that God wants us to be in. Oh, Josh, I couldn't see you back there.
I don't know why, but to me, I think of Ecclesiastes 4, it talks about the toilless and meaningless of all of these things. And the basis and what we really need to pray for is that all these people that are oppressed, they have no comfort. And we do. And so I think the biggest thing we should do is pray for those things, pray for those situations. And that should be our response. Yeah. And show them that we have that and you should want it.
That goes to what we talked about Wednesday at lunch. About how we were discussing taking problems to God, not solutions. When Mary saw that the wine was out, she told Jesus, they're out of wine. She didn't tell him to turn the water to wine. She didn't give him a solution. She just gave him the problem. The net result of that was the people got the best wine they'd ever had. When Jesus was free to do whatever Jesus wanted to do, he gave them the best wine ever and changed the way weddings are done. You bring out the good wine last enough. So. But what Josh is saying, I agree, and it's kind of what Jane was saying over here, we have the authority to petition God, so we can take these problems to God and let him deal with them. Let him bring the solution down. Avoid our unrighteous judgment on it and let the Lord deal with that thing. Because he'll deal with it thoroughly and completely.
You know, I keep thinking of the scenario of Job, the righteous man, and his friends came. They even sat with him for 7 days before they started speaking, watching him in his misery. But then they started accusing because they were looking at his situation and what he was in, thinking that he had really sinned because of him being covered with sores and all that. And, you know, and then God spoke.
Well, if we start giving testimony and only giving testimony, the world will slow down and quieten down.
You need to do a teaching on what is your testimony. I think the church or the church has confused us in the idea of what is our testimony. But our testimony is everything we're going through, right?
Everything we have been a witness to, good, bad, and indifferent, is our testimony.
And I think there's more meat there than meets the eye sometimes. We think our testimony is, oh, I grew up in the boardroom and God set me free from that. And that could be.
That is part of your, if it's true, it's part of our testimony.
But if that's all you hold on to, yeah, if that's your testimony. See, it's ongoing. God reveals things to you. That's part of your testimony, isn't it?
Yeah, we tend to compartmentalize it as the church, I think. And our testimony is our relationship with Christ, how we came to know Christ in the church. And we limit that to our testimony. Leon Beeler made a comment to me one day. He said, you know, Doug, I wished I'd have stacked more rocks so I could remember more easily all the good things God has done in my life. He was talking about his testimony. But because, you know, as he looked back on them, he had to strain to remember all those good things. And he would have liked to stack rocks along the way to make a memorial to God to remind him of the things that happened. And that's our real testimony. I can't give testimony about what you said happened to you. That's your testimony. And it needs to be heard and it needs to be presented. But I can't give it. I can only give my testimony, the things I have witnessed. Now, if I witness the change in you, you know, if God does this miraculous thing in you and I witness it, then I can be that can be part of my testimony because I saw it.
That's fair, fair, sweet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those 12 could only testify to what they had seen with their own eyes, or with their own
ear. I used to really lambast old Doubting Thomas because he wouldn't believe his buddies and he wouldn't believe what the Lord had said. But had he not been adamant that I'll not believe unless I put my hands in the hole, had he not done that, we wouldn't have had 12. So we need to quit beating on that boy. He was doing what the Holy Spirit had him do to fulfill Scripture. It was necessary that Jesus reappear in that room and that he see him in order for him to give testimony to his resurrection.
Good.
That would have been real easy for him to run out there and say, based on the sayings of these other guys, I'm going to tell you it happened. But that's not a testimony. Mm-hmm. That's hearsay. So I had to repent for talking bad about Doubting Thomas. He was fulfilling the destiny that he had under the prompting of the Holy Spirit to fulfill the prophecy. Yeah. Yeah.
Just another one of those things that we accept because we've been religiously taught.
So my challenge to you is, in all of the things that God is raising the standard in, allow him to raise the standard in how you judge matters and when you judge and when you don't judge and how you encourage others in and around those things.
Yeah. I wanna bring out another side.
Okay.
And that's when you're being accused. When you're being accused. I heard this a long time ago and I've never forgotten it. If someone accuses you and you defend yourself, you elevate the truth on the same level as the lie. And you cause other people to judge. But if you don't defend yourself, God will judge in His timing.
Well, I read somewhere, we have a defender. And then, so that's one thing we as the children of God should never do is defend ourselves. Because the truth will come out.
Mm-hmm.
You just let the truth come out.
Well, that's when you're accused, when you're judged.
Well, I've always said, I liked what this one guy said, the friend of Kavanaugh. They wanted him to come testify. He says, I don't know anything to testify. I can't speak to a lie. Yeah. I don't know anything about it, so I can't speak to that thing. If I did, I'd just be stirring up. And it's what you're saying. He'd be elevating that thing. But he said, I have no memory of it, so there's no question. You know, I can't say anything. If you defend yourself against lies, it's like swatting at gnats. They just gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and you empower it. You raise that thing to the same level. So, yeah, we as the children of God have a defender, and it's not ourselves. We should never defend ourselves.
On the other hand, you can't defend somebody else in the body of Christ other than what your testimony
is,
or your personal relationship is revealed, their character.
Well, you think about in this relationship right here, how if something comes up and I try and defend myself or she tries to defend herself, immediately there's division there. Well, this is just a microcosm of the whole body of Christ. And so when we do that, when we start taking up the role of the Holy Spirit, we're in trouble. As Vicki says, God likes His job. He wants to do it.
He likes His job.
But let the Holy Spirit lift you in this area. Cause your words to be more accurate, our words to be less divisive, and not allow our opinions to weigh down our brothers. Anybody got anything else? Glad to have Eric and Aaron and the boys here with us today.
It's good to be here.
They had to come experience the good life outside Dallas. Y'all get up and visit.